Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Acts 26. I read the verses 16 through 18 as text verses for the sermon. Acts 26, verses 16 through 18, where we read as follows. But rise and stand up thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The theme for the sermon is Paul and his calling. 3 points. First point, the defense. The second point, the task. And the third point, the message. So the theme is Paul and his calling. 3 points, the defense, the task, and the message. Congregation, there was a little girl, and although she was very young, if you would ask her what she wanted to be in life, she had her answer ready. You could almost wake her up in the night, and she would say, I want to be a nurse. And that didn't change. Usually it might change when we grow up. Eh? So, as a boy, you want to be a policeman maybe, or in the army, or fire guard, something like that. And then after time, you think, well, maybe it's not the best idea, so you change your mind. And you see other ways that God is opening for you. And so that happens a lot. It didn't change with this young girl. She grew up and she got the education and she did the work and she did it with her heart. She received the gifts to do it. That's special, isn't it? Maybe you struggle with it, young people. What is the purpose of my life? What is the calling of my life? Which choice should I make for my education? What are my gifts? And what does the Lord want me to do? That's a good question. You should pray about it. Pray about it. Lay it before the Lord. Well, maybe you say, I tried, but I didn't get an answer. Well, continue to pray. And do what your hand finds to do. And follow the teaching you can follow. And then see how the Lord is guiding you. You know, it's not always so clear as it was to this young girl. And the Lord can make it clear later on. And maybe that happens also. You switch at a certain point. And we don't understand always why things happen that way in our lives. But we do know and we do believe that the Lord has a purpose, and that if we seek Him, if we find Him, if we start to love Him, that it has a purpose for good. So yeah, you could say it was kind of her calling in life. I know it's different from having a calling for the ministry or for any office in the church, or even an office in the government. That's special, to have a calling for a task in the kingdom of God. You really have to feel, here is the Lord. The Lord is guiding me here. Although that can also happen in different ways. For someone it might be more clear than for someone else, and right from the beginning. And others struggle more with questions and doubts. And along the way it becomes more clear and powerful in the hearts. Well, this morning we have read a testimony of Paul and his calling, how the Lord has called him. Well, it did change in Paul's life. It totally changed in Paul's life. It was totally the opposite before the Lord called him. And he thought that he did right. He thought that this is something I have to do, when he was persecuting Christians, actually persecuting the Lord Jesus. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was convinced he should do that. Paul was a very religious man, and he thought, this is what God wants me to do in life. I have to persecute people that follow the heresy of Jesus of Nazareth. And he did with all his might, fighting against God and thinking that he did please God. So he did it in Jerusalem, and he did it also in the whole land, country, Judea, the Jewish land. But that was not sufficient for him. He went to Damascus, and he had letters of authority. And so he wanted to persecute Christians there. He would take them, put them in prison, and compel them to deny and to blaspheme. And yeah, even if they were killed, he would agree. He would find pleasure in it. How could we call this in the life of Paul? What is this? Well, we would say, it's deep blindness, isn't it? It's deep darkness. A very religious man, educated in a profound way in the scriptures of the Old Testament, like that were the scriptures in those days, and then with all his might, belonging to the most strict sect of the Pharisees, and with all his power, fighting against Jesus of Nazareth. Darkness, blindness, thinking he did right, like someone walking in the darkness, thinking that he is going home, but he's walking in the totally wrong direction. He doesn't know. It's dark. He cannot see. But in his mind, he's telling himself, I'm going home. He will not. He will never get there. If someone will not stop him and turn him, if there will not be light shining to show that he's wrong. Well, that happened to Paul. There came a day that light was shining in his life. At midday, when he is talking here, Paul is talking to King Agrippa. At midday, O King! And when he says it, you see, Paul is aware again of what happened to himself. That great day, moment in his life, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. So even more clear and powerful than the sun. That must be the light of God. And it was shining round about me everywhere. In front of him, behind him, at his side, and also with them which journeyed with me. Nothing to hide anymore, Paul. Saul, no darkness anymore. Everywhere light. That was something. He fell. He fell to the ground. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. So this is something Paul is relating. We read it also in other chapter of the book of Acts. Why does he do that? Well, Paul has the opportunity to witness. He has the opportunity to witness before the king, Agrippa. So what is the situation? Paul is a prisoner. They've caught him. The Jews have caught him. They were always behind him. You can read through the book of Acts. And then you see always when Paul was there, certain point, or many times at least, there came opposition. Many times it were the Jews who hated this message. And Paul could understand that because he had had that time as well. So they came after him. At a certain point, they caught him. They found him in the temple. They accused him that he brought Gentiles in the temple, that he was teaching the people, that they shouldn't keep the law and the books of Moses. And so, in other words, this is a most depraved man, and is stirring up the people, causing trouble everywhere, and heresies. And so they wanted to kill him. And then the commander of the soldiers, he took him, and so now he is a prisoner. He's accused. And so the governor, the former governor, Felix, he left him in prison after he was replaced by Festus. So now Festus is a new governor in the Jewish land, and he is visited by Agrippa, the king, together with his wife. Agrippa and his wife, they come to greet Festus, the new ruler, the new governor. And while they are there for quite a while, they talk about things, and then here it comes up, this difficult case of this prisoner, Paul, and he has appealed unto Caesar. And so, but what can I write to Caesar? Because there's not a real crime in the life of this man. And so then Agrippa said, I would like to hear him. I would like to hear him talk. So here is the situation. Paul standing there before King Agrippa, and also Festus is there, the governor, and so Paul has a wonderful opportunity to witness about Christ and his work in his life, and also the gospel, and he does. I would like it if I could have been there. What about you? You see it before you, don't you? Paul. Paul, his name actually means little. Maybe he was not big, not tall, but what a wonderful servant it was. I mean, what a wonderful way he was used by the Lord to serve. Sometimes people ask, if you had the opportunity to talk to someone in history who, it's impossible, he's not alive anymore, to whom would you like to talk? There are a few people, you know, I would like to talk to hear them at least, to see them. Not that I think they were perfect in their character. That might be a disappointment, but the way they were used by the Lord. If I think about the Old Testament, I would like to hear Moses. I think he is the greatest one. Well, I don't know if you can say that, but the way he was used by the Lord. Moses. The man who was used to bring the people out of Egypt. Most meek in all the things after, you know, he had gone through all those things. Most meek man. But if you think about someone in the New Testament, I would like to talk to Paul. I mean, I love his letters. The letter to the Romans, the letter to Galatians. They've been most important and precious for my heart and soul. I hope you understand that. I mean, what an insight God gave him in the gospel. How clear and powerful. And here he is standing. What a deep conviction he has in his life. Maybe I ask if you would like to talk to someone in history, in church history, after the time scripture was finished. Well, yeah, there's also someone I would like to talk to. I mean, it's different. He was not used to write scripture, but I would like to talk to Calvin as well. I would like to hear him. I think Calvin was someone above many in a certain way, used by the Lord. God gave those men at the right spot, at the right place, the right time in history, with the right gifts and the right talents. Well, someone said Calvin is someone like one in a thousand years in a certain way. The gifts he had, the talents to write, expose scripture, and the systematic way of exposing theology, and that's blessed for the church in an amazing way all over the world. So I cannot help that. I would like to hear, to meet those people in a certain way, but you know, most important is that there's a desire in my heart to meet someone who is much more important. Do you understand that? And that will happen. One day I will see Christ like He is. He is the name above all name, Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one against whom Paul was fighting with all his gifts. He was smart, Paul. He was persistent, and he used it. Could it be to extinguish the church? He had that purpose. But God stopped him. Wonderful, the power of the light of Christ came in the life of Paul. And here he is standing. If you see them standing there, or if you see Paul standing there and you see the whole situation, Paul, a prisoner, bound for Christ's sake, you can see he is not a rich man in this world, just a simple man, concerning his clothes, etc., his outward appearance. And then the king Agrippa, a powerful man of this world, and Festus, also in a powerful position. Are they powerful? I mean, if you read about Felix, he was in the position of Festus, but he would hear Paul, he would have Paul speaking to him, and he had not the power to release him. Even he wanted to get money out of it, bribes. What's that? And he's replaced already. He's gone now. Pretty soon he will be forgotten. Although his name is here in Scripture. Otherwise nobody would know about him probably. So what is it? Is it really great to be in such a position? Would you not rather be like Paul? No, not powerful in this world, even bound. But look to his eyes and hear his words and see everything that is kind of radiating out of him. There's something, you know, that is so powerful, it cannot be broken. That's right. Why not? Because, and you know it, it is the work of God in his life. It is the work of the Lord. It cannot be broken. They tried hard. They could not. Isn't that wonderful? Would you not rather have that? To be like Paul? Instead of having everything in this world, but your heart would be empty. And pretty soon you have to leave whatever position you have in this world. What Paul has is for eternity. Young people, what is the choice of your heart? Tell me. Tell the Lord. Today is a day of a choice in a certain way. Your heart makes choices every day, sitting under the word. I know that great choice is a work of the Lord, but it's a choice. What is the choice of your heart? The things of this world or the things of the kingdom of God? It's one of the two. And the things of this world last for a moment and then they pass away, and you with it. If you put your heart on those things, the things of the kingdom of God are for eternity. And you can never overestimate them. They are full and rich. So here is Paul standing for those rulers of the world. Sitting there on their chairs, their thrones, you could say, their judgment seats, whatever you might call it. And he is using the opportunity. He is not scared to speak. And he is receiving the opportunity. Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And he is doing that. Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself as a gesture to show he's going to speak, to get attention. And I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Many things. Well, was he really speaking for himself? The defense of Paul, it was not about Paul so much. No, Paul was healed from selfishness by the grace of God and from the carnal zeal that was changed. But there was a zeal in his life, and that was the zeal for the kingdom of God. You know, that was related, that is related to each other. Paul has a task. That's our second thought. So he is doing this defense because he has a task. The task is clear in the verses of the text verses. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Yeah, you might say this is literally because he was laying there fallen on the ground. Rise and stand upon thy feet. You might also say it's spiritually. It's like laying down in sin, in the grave of sin, in opposing God, in a self-made religion, a self-maintaining religion, and all the pride of the heart involved in it. But rise, that's what Christ is doing. He is causing people to rise out of that old way of life, in whatever way it might be. Rise and stand upon thy feet. Yeah. Did you ever fall? Then you're so happy that you can stand on your feet. Sometimes when people get older, they fall, and you hope they have an alarm, they can get someone to help them, because they feel so helpless when they cannot rise. They don't have the strength to, maybe they're injured and they're laying there, maybe cold or hurt, whatever. And then, you know, how happy they are if someone is helping them to stand upon their feet. Well, that's true also in a spiritual way. By nature, we're laying there, weak and helpless. Sin has power over us. And the world and the temptation and self as a slave master. That Christ says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. He has seen things. Which things has Paul seen? I'm pretty sure he has seen Christ before he saw him here. He lived in the same time as Christ was living. Would there be a Pharisee who wouldn't know about Jesus of Nazareth? He must have seen him. But here it is very clear that he saw him as the risen one, as the living one, the Son of God from heaven speaking to him. So he has to witness about that. He has seen it, so he can witness. He's an eyewitness. But there's a lot he has still to learn. And of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. That's great. If God is calling you for a certain task, doesn't mean that you have everything in your pockets, you can do that. Someone said, God is not calling those that are able, but he is making able those that he is calling. So that's what's going to happen to Paul. That's nice. Think about that. If there is a task, you're a father in a family maybe. You have young children. Can I do this? God has called you to do that. But he is making able those that he has called. A mother in a family. A teacher at school. Can you do it? God is making able those that he has called. Look to him. Now that happened to Paul. The Lord has been appearing to him several situations and also giving him insight, instruction. And so he is called to witness, to make thee a minister. You could also translate a servant. A minister is a servant. And a witness. And the word witness in Greek is martyr. Martyra. We hear the word martyr. So that's the same word in Greek. To witness, to be a, a martyr. We can understand that. If you witness in a world of darkness, what happens? You're going to be opposed and attacked. So if you are a living witness, you will be a martyr. That's what Scripture says. All that live a godly life will be persecuted in this world. So that's Paul. You're going to be a martyr. You're going to be a servant and a martyr. So far you thought you were a king. You were in control of your own life, but that's going to change. You lose the control. You're going to serve. And you're going to be a martyr. This is what I do. I'm going to make it you. You're not by yourself. We are not inclined to be that. I make you. I make you a servant and a martyr. So God can do that. He can take your life and mold it. He does. He does take the lives of people and shape it to make them vessels useful for His glory and His service. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and which I will appear unto thee. So here he is, the witness, standing before Agrippa and Festus. Oh, Paul, this might be about your life. It's about your freedom. Oh, Paul, you have to speak for yourself now. This is kind of a fight. Maybe you can fight yourself out of this situation that you gain your freedom. No, it's not about Paul. And that's very clear if you read this witnessing of Paul, because how honest it is. What Paul says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which I did. And I even went to Damascus, and I punished them in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Did you do that, Paul? What a wicked man you were. So he's not speaking for himself in that way, that he is exalting himself, being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And that's how I was. You see, it's not about Paul, it's not about his glory. Would you speak that way about yourself? Would you reveal those hidden things in your life, those dark sides? You would not, huh? We're not inclined to do that. Paul did. Why did he do it? To make clear the work of the Lord in his life, that God could take such a person and make him a servant and a witness. So God can do anything. Do you think, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So he's right away starting taking kind of the heart of the gospel, the foundation of the church. God has raised his son. Do you think it's unbelievable? Can God not do that? Look what he did to me. Who I was before. And here I am standing, a servant and a witness. God is doing miracles. And I tell you, God does miracles. So he's witnessing about it. But it is about Paul. No, not to exalt Paul. Paul was defending himself, relating about what God had called him to do. Because this being accused of the Jews was an attack, like Paul did himself before, an attack against the gospel. If they could stop Paul, you can say Satan is behind this whole picture, isn't it? Satan is pulling the lines, you could say, trying to move the whole scene, the whole situation, so that he could gain out of it. And he wants to stop Paul, that's for sure. So he is stirring up the Jews to accuse him. So Paul is very much aware, very well aware, that this is a matter of life or death, not his own life, but the lives of people that he is ministering to. If they can blame him and in this way make his ministry powerless, that will stop in a certain way his ministry. And what was his ministry? Well, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So if Paul will not succeed to witness here in a way that his ministry might continue, that will cause darkness or continuing darkness in the lives of people, because he is preaching the gospel and bringing light in that way to those that are in darkness. You see what a mean attack of Satan it is, what a horrible thing it is. So Paul is witnessing here and is exposing the task that he has, because he says to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Of course Satan doesn't like it if you turn people that serve him, turn away. Satan wants to have power over people. Power is a word that is kind of dangerous in a sinful world, to have power. Satan has power. Oh, it's such a blessing that God has all the power. But Satan has power over people. How does it work with that power of Satan? And what about this task of Paul? How can he do that? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Can Paul do that? You see him standing there. Maybe he's not so tall and big. Can he turn them away from the power of Satan unto God? Yeah, that's his task. God has called him to do that. Paul, I sent you to open the eyes of people, of Gentiles, people that are against you, because it says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why would you have to be delivered if people are not against you, attacking you, trying to stop you? I will deliver you. Paul, don't be discouraged. I will deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles. But you have to go there. Go to people that will fight against you, and I will deliver you. And you have to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, to open their eyes, that's such a wonderful miracle. I mean, if you see someone blind in this world, not able to see, what a miserable, difficult situation. And Paul had to open their eyes, of course, in a spiritual way, that people would see the things of God and reality like it is, to open their eyes. It is so powerful that Scripture is using this illustration for our natural state. We are people by nature that need our eyes to be opened. So we don't really see. Do you believe that? Did you become aware of that? This is true. We don't see the danger, we don't see the depravity, the sinfulness, the guilt, the danger of Satan, the glory of God. We don't see it by nature. We're just blind. God is sending his servants to open eyes. Can you imagine the joy of someone who was blind and now can see the beauty of colors, of sunshine, of creation? You're going to open eyes of people. People will see me. People will get to know me. People will see reality. People will see their danger, their need of Christ. People will see their guilt, the glory that is prepared for those that fear. There's so much that's going to be known after our eyes are opened. How does it happen? Well, by the preaching of the gospel. It's a simple and most powerful remedy, you could say, that the Holy Spirit is using the Bible. Do you read your Bible? Do you read, really read your Bible in a way that you are hungry and thirsty, that you want to know? God is making himself known through Scripture. And it is wonderful how Paul is preaching here. Because he is relating to that he was a Jew, you know. He's very much comforted that Agrippa is there before him, because Agrippa was a Jew, instructed in the Jewish religion. And then he's going to expose who Jesus is, who Christ is, that he is the one who appeared to him, but also the one who was risen from the dead. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So here you have it. Paul, I sent you that people will see light, to open their eyes. Well, and this is the way Christ is doing that. The one who suffered, the one who came in this world, but the one who is risen, who resurrected, he is sitting now at the right hand of God, and he is showing light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So Paul is called to do this, but Christ actually from heaven is doing it through Paul. It's a divine work. It's the work of God. And it happens in this world. People get to know God and see reality and find forgiveness of sins. And that is the intention. That is the purpose. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, they have to turn around. By nature, we stand with our back to God, to the light, and we walk in the darkness. So they have to be turned around. That happens by the word, by Scripture. And from the power of Satan to set us free. This happens today. I hope that you know this in your life. I really pray for you as a congregation that God will work that in all hearts. That the eyes will be opened and that you will be set free from the power of Satan. I'm the same like you are. I need it, and I have experienced that. I believe those things. I'm deeply convinced about the reality of this word. Like Paul was, I feel so blessed by what God has revealed and applied through his word, and I pray that that is the case with you as well. It's the same in all times, in the time of Paul, in our days. We need to see, we need to be free from darkness and Satan. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 30, stanza 1 through 3. 30, stanza 1, to thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. 30, all stanzas. Congregation, we could say this message of Paul is as clear as the light at noon, isn't it? God has called me. I walked in darkness. And now I'm standing here. I was accused by Jews that walk in darkness. I'm called to open eyes, and that happens through Christ, who suffered, who died, who is the living one now, and he is opening eyes. He's showing light unto the people. So what is his message? Let's try to summarize the message of the gospel like we find it here. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. First, this part. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. So this is the heart of the gospel. That's why we talk about sin. Jesus means he is the one who came to save his people from sin. I believe that's the heart that should somewhere be in every service. There's always a danger that we are distracted from this heart of the matter. And that happens easily because it's not so nice to hear about that we have to be forgiven. We are a guilty sinner before a holy God in ourselves. That's reality. We got to know when we have our eyes opened. But listen, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Those sins can be, will be taken away, where Christ is working in my life through the preaching of the word. I get to see that I am a sinner. I get to see that the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing from all sin. Here's the great foundation of salvation. It's something you all have to know. Forgiveness of your sins. Otherwise you are in the greatest, the biggest danger. Do you have forgiveness of sins? Are your sins forgiven? Can you answer that question? It's not a difficult question. Are your sins forgiven? Well, Pastor, I have some experiences, and I try to be faithful. I asked you the question if your sins are forgiven. But how can that happen? You know that. You have heard the gospel so many times. Was it not clear? Was it not clear how your sins can be forgiven? It happens through Christ, the one who suffered and died, took the punishment of death so that you could live. That's why his blood is powerful. He shed his blood. That's the price, his life. And that's what I deserve. I'm worthy, you know. I mean deserve. I deserve to be punished with death. He took it. So that guilt can be removed out of my life. And the second thing Paul is talking about, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Inheritance. We were singing about that. Inheritance. That what God has prepared for those that fear him. Not only for me, but for all those that are sanctified. Among them which are sanctified. Oh, the joy will be full. Because there will be a multitude, and we will need each other to understand the length, the depth, the width of his love. So think about this. This is something that is preached. Not only forgiveness of sins, but also the glory that is prepared. There is a future for God's church, for God's children, for those that come and flee to Christ and fall at his feet. There is a future and inheritance, and it is so bountiful, so great, so wonderful, so bright. It's so joyful, delightful, an inheritance because it is to be with Christ. Love of Christ will satisfy the hearts there forever. To see him like he is, his beauty, power, might, glory, love, compassion, care, everything that is in him. So now we are here in this world, and it's a fight, isn't it? It's a spiritual warfare. And sometimes you are discouraged. Sometimes you think, is it worth to live this life in following Christ? I get so tired of it. I get so attacked, and there's so much darkness. I think that's why this is preached. There is an inheritance. Well, let's think about this, children. You have to travel a long way, and it's not easy to travel. You don't like it. Because you don't see the purpose. But if you have to travel the same journey, and you would know we're gonna have a wonderful vacation as a family there. We will see all the beauty of the mountains, those blue lakes, the snow, the nature, the glory of God's creation. You're gonna have a great time there. Your journey is totally different, isn't it? And that's just a weak example of something on earth. But this is true in the lives of God's people. If they would live more in the awareness of the future that is prepared by the Lord to be with him, that makes my journey on earth so different. The hardships and the sufferings, to be rejected or despised, it's not so important, because I have something before my eyes. I will be with him, and pretty soon. It doesn't take long. Revelation is talking about 10 days. And then this journey is over. That's what is preached. What a rich preaching it is. Forgiveness of my sins. All that burden from the past is taken away. All those sins. So I'm set free. And that power of Satan over me is broken. He's still there. I have to watch him to pray. But his power is broken. I'm no more a slave. No more a slave. A servant of Christ. So the past is fine. Christ has covered it with his blood, and all the sins, even of today and the future. I know that. And now is fine as well. I'm set free. I'm no more under the power of darkness and Satan. And there is a future prepared. Can you see how joyful the life of a living Christian is? Pastor, there's a lot of problems in my life. I know. I have pain about things that happen. I know. Look to Christ. Look to him who suffered deeper than anybody else. And it will not last forever. And look to his glory. You will share in his glory. So this is the message, you could say. There's more. There's more here about the message that Paul is preaching. Let's see. It says in verse 20, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So this is also part, very important, of the message. He's preaching Christ. That includes that we need to repent. Is it hard? Did you repent? What does it mean to repent? It is that you really see what you did against the Lord. And confess it, admit it. And become who you are. Regret it, mourn about it before God. You will mourn about if you would lose something precious here in this world. You say it's not hard to mourn about it. You feel it. Well, feel, see, it's clear in Scripture, and repent about what you've done against God. That's part of being saved. And turn to God. Turn to God. Once for the first time, but every day again. How can I turn to God? Well, yeah, God has given means, Scripture, to find him herein. But it's about the attitude of your heart. that you turn to God, that you look to Him. And prayer and faith, trust. Do you trust the Lord? Turn to God from darkness to light, and do works. Do works meet for repentance that belong to repentance. So no more the old works of the pleasure of sin, selfishness, but works meet for repentance. Can we do that? Well, God is requiring them. You bring us under the law. No, they are prepared in Christ. That's what Scripture says. The good works follow them, those that are saved. They are prepared in Christ, those good works. It's His work through you. But you will be involved. You willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to be set free from all those sins that might make you feel good, give you pleasure? Do you want to get rid of them? Do you really cry to the Lord to get rid of those sins? Or do you secretly want to keep them here? Somewhere here, your bosom. I love those sins. Gives me such a great feeling. You have fire in your bosom, which you not burn. So turn away to God and do good works, meet for repentance. Paul did it. He obeyed. He couldn't do different. He had to obey. He was rising. He was proclaiming the gospel. You will too. If Christ is shining in your life, you will. You will. He will do it. Thou shalt not steal. Is that a command or is it a promise or is it both? So God will do it through you. He will change your life. Trust in Him. Look to Him. And then you will be with Him in glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, most merciful God, we come to Thee. Help us, Lord. We have no strength, but Thou hast all the strength. Christ has spoken unto me, has given all power in heaven and on earth. Lord, it's such a rich life to know Thee. We have seen Paul standing there in fully convinced, bold witnessing. He had more power than Agrippa and Festus together, because the power of God dwelling in him. Lord, we need that power. And it is there. And it is received by faith today. Lord, work through Thy word. It's a divine word. It's a power of God unto salvation. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy help, for Thy light. O Lord, that it may be fruitful, that we take it in our hearts to ponder it, to meditate on it. Help us in the classes that we will have for instruction, teaching, and fellowship. Lord, we pray, bring us together in Thy house again and give us a day of rest to meditate on the reality of the invisible things, so that our hearts will turn to God, away from power of darkness and Satan, so that good works will be worked through us. Lord, keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, and keep us from sin, from Satan and his devices. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.